your Bibles tonight, I want you to turn to John chapter number 19. Actually, if your Bible's the way it is, you know, you'll see part of John 18 also. So we're going to read from John chapter 18 and read on through John chapter 19. And I want to preach a little bit here out of a thought that I've had. And I've heard men preach about this portion of Scripture. And I really am impressed with my Savior. Nobody's ever impressed me like Jesus. And I really appreciate my Savior. He's my King. Amen. He's my Lord. Amen. And He's the one that, saved me, called me, put me in the ministry. He's the one I'm serving. And it's amazing to me how God is, Jesus Christ is so unique. He stands alone from everything. The Bible says there, let me begin reading there. I guess I could read the whole thing, but I want to drop in here. My note here, I think it says something about right around verse 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate said unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But you have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will you therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Chapter 19, verse 1. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto them, behold, I bring him forth to you that you may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said unto them, behold the man. When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out saying, crucify him, crucify him. And Pilate said unto them, take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, we have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. Look in verse 8, it says, then Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we ask you, God, tonight, Lord, just to meet with us again. God, we need you. God, if there's anything in this world, God, that we need the power of the Holy Spirit upon our service. We need, God, for your touch. We need, God, for you to anoint us and help us, dear God. We're just men, Lord God. At best, we're just men. God, and there's nothing special about us, Lord, in ourselves, but Lord, you're the one that makes a difference in our lives. So, Father, tonight I plead as God, as a man that's in need, Lord, to come and anoint us, Lord God, afresh. And God, use us tonight, Lord God. And I pray, God, that you get all the honor and all the praise and all the glory. For I ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. 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 The Bible says here, you know, that three times it said, I find no fault in him. And I see the scourging. I see the soldiers there. They're mocking him. We see the smiting. But then we see the statement. I find no fault in him. Now the first time he says that, they're talking about a king. So I want to say that the first time this is mentioned, it's in relation to, it has to do with Jesus as a king. And the Bible says that he had delivered us from the power of darkness and had translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. And you know, it had to do with him being a king. And thank God, there's no king like Jesus. Amen. I'm glad for my King. I'm glad, folks, that one day he's coming back and straighten this whole mess up. Amen. And nothing's too hard for the Lord. Nothing's too impossible for the Lord. As bad and complicated as this world's getting, it won't take him too long to fix it all up. Amen. And put it to where it needs to be. Amen. I'm looking for that day when he will come, when he will come. And not only that, but you know what? There in verse number 4, it said that Pilate said it again. He said, I find no fault in him. And I want to say that I believe that's in relation to the man, because he said this. He said, behold the man. And you know what Pilate said? Behold a man, may I say, what a man. Amen. I'll tell you, no man can come to him and compare himself to him. Matter of fact, one time he went to a ship, and when he came, when the storm came up, the Bible says he went to sleep just like any ordinary man. But when the storm came up, hey folks, he rose up to the storm, and he rebuked the wind, and it obeyed him, and the waves laid down. And they said, what manner of man is this? They couldn't understand that. They thought that they were just traveling with a man. I want to tell you, folks, when we leave this place tonight and we're headed home, ain't it a comfort to know that we're going home with somebody better than a man? I mean, the greatest man that you could ever travel with, folks, is going to go to travel with us, folks. I'm talking about somebody better than just a man. Amen. Thank God that we got a person by the name of Jesus Christ. And you know what? He's gonna take this world that we have, folks, to make it fit for a man. Amen. Where we can live and not have to worry about all the kind of mess that's going on today. Amen. Thank God, folks. What a man. And now I want you to notice number three that, you know, when he said it the third time, the Bible says that it had to do with Jesus as the Son of God. Because they said right there in verse number seven, the Jews answered him, we have a law, and by our law he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God. In other words, that third time when he said, I find no fault in him, he was talking about Jesus as deity. Amen. He was talking about him as the God of heaven. Amen. I like what it says over there in Colossians chapter number 1. Verse 16, for by him were all things created. Matter of fact, back there in verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who had delivered us from the power of darkness and had delivered us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. And by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things are created by him and for him. Did you ever notice that how many times the word him shows up in this text? And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Hey, folks, I'm glad today, folks, that, you know, that the Bible tells us that it's him. Amen. It's in him. That tells me, folks, here, when I read this portion of Scripture, I'm reminded, folks, in here in Colossians, that, folks, everything that we ever read this week, everything we ever preached this week, everything that we ever talked about this week is about him. Amen. I'm glad, folks, I'm glad to be in the meeting where everything's about him. Amen. It ain't about you. It ain't about me. It ain't about this. It ain't about that. It's about him. Amen. Folks, we need to get back to that place of preaching about him. Talking about him. Hey, folks, if you're trying to prove that dream, dream about him. Amen. Think about the day when he's going to come and set everything straight. I'm telling you, folks, what a blessing to know that Jesus Christ is the one being referred to as having no fault. Amen. Boy, I tell you, when Pilate heard it, it scared him greatly. The God-man, Jesus Christ. I mean, think about that. You know, I want to just say a few things about him. You know, the fact that, you know what? When he came to this world, born of a virgin, amen. God created life the fourth time from Adam and Eve. He created Adam. Then from Adam, he created Eve. That was life number two. Life number three, when he put Adam and Eve together, and they brought forth a child. Life number four said, God, I'll tell you what, I'll just do it without man. Amen. So he stepped in, put the seed in that woman, and she brought forth a son, and he was called the Son of God. Bible says, you know, this day in the city of David is born to you a Savior. With Jesus Christ the Lord. He came, folks. I'll tell you, there was no fault in his birth. Amen. Bible says he came to this world born of a virgin. And folks, most of us in here, we got a daddy somewhere. Amen. And I'll tell you what, we're just as rotten to the core as our daddies. Amen. But thank God Jesus was born separate from sinners. Amen. He was undefiled when he came, folks. There's no fault in his birth. Amen. He's the only one, folks, that was born different than any other person in the world. When it comes down not only to his word, but how about his virtuous life? What about his impeccable life? What about the life that he had, folks? You and I, you can stand together and we can look at each other. Hey, you might look pretty good compared to me. Amen. You might look pretty healthy compared to me. But folks, I'll tell you what. You stand along Jesus Christ and most of us. Hey, we don't amount to nothing. Amen, folks. I'll tell you what, folks. We've got somebody that can stand head and shoulder above everybody, folks. And yet, Bible says that he wasn't so big that he will come down and serve somebody. You remember that time he took a towel, wrapped himself, and he went and he washed the disciples' feet. Amen. You remember those days when he did things. Bible said that he came out of a life that was virtuous. Amen. All through his life, nobody could find any fault in him. And here's his enemy standing there. I have found no fault in this man. There's no fault in his person. He was prophesied from the beginning. I mean, when that first couple, Adam and Eve, in the garden sinned, God killed an innocent lamb, innocent animal. And God said there, he said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between the seed, thy seed and his seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. You know who he was talking about? He was talking about Jesus. Hey, folks, this book, like I said, it's about him. Amen. He's talking about Jesus from the very beginning. He was prophesied as the Lamb of God. Amen. Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, the Bible says he's the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Folks, so he was prophesied in the Word of God before Jesus ever came to this world as a man born a virgin. God already knew he had a son that was going to come and answer the world's problem of sin. Amen. Not only was he prophesied, but the Bible says he was pictured in the Old Testament. Boy, I like that story where Abraham walked up that hill with his boy. Amen. I'll tell you what, when he's going up there, the boy all of a sudden noticed something. He said, well, here's the wood on my back. He said, there's a knife, but he said, where's the sacrifice? Amen. I'll tell you, when they're going up that hill and there's some questions straightforward to Abraham. And Abraham didn't blink one time. He said, son, the Lord himself shall provide himself a lamb. Folks, what that means is, hey, that he's going to be that lamb that was already pictured in that story, that one day God would let his son, hey, go up a hill called Calvary, carry his own cross, and go up there and be nailed to that cross and suffer for the sin of the world. Folks, that was already a picture there. Amen. Thank God for that. And then we know we see not only that picture of the Lamb being by. You know what? We also see that he was presented in the New Testament. I mean, no telling how many times animals were slain. There was bulls and there was goats and there was lambs. And you know what? There's tons and tons and thousands of animals slain from the time that they started that sacrifice. When God slew that innocent animal, man had to come back to God only through the blood of a sacrifice. And no telling how many innocent animals were slain. But one day, as John the Baptist was preaching on by the River Jordan, and he was standing there, and all of a sudden he stopped and he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Folks, I'm telling you, folks, there in that time, in that period, folks, he saw the Lord Jesus Christ, and when he was pictured there, then he came in and he presented him to the people. He said, he's the answer to our problem. Amen. He's the one that's going to stand between you and I as the one mediator between God and man. Folks, I'm glad I got a mediator tonight. But I don't want to stand in between me and God, folks. And when God looks on me, he don't look at my sin. He looks at Jesus Christ and he declares me justified. Amen. Folks, I'm going to heaven one day because God has allowed his son to die my place. He proclaimed, not only about, you know what? Remember that day on the Emmaus Road, Luke chapter 24? Those two were walking back from Jerusalem, and they're talking, and they're kind of, just really questioning each other about, I don't know what happened. And then all of a sudden, Jesus just comes, walks right with them. The Bible said they didn't know who he was because their eyes were holding, so they're just walking with him. Just some other guy down the street, so they're talking. Then they said, Jesus, who are you talking about? What's all this conversation about? And he said, where have you been, man? Didn't you know that 3 days ago, Jesus died? And here it is, the third day, and we haven't seen him, and don't you know? And Jesus, Bible said, Jesus said, oh, fools slow to believe. He said, and then the Bible said at the beginning of Moses, he began to tell, open up their eyes. Amen. Open up their sight. And he opened up the scriptures again. The Bible says there, you know, when he told, beginning at Moses, all the prophecy expounded unto them, all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. You know what he did? He proclaimed himself. He said, I'm it, buddy. Hey, ain't nobody else coming. Amen. Let me tell you something, folks. Jesus Christ came to this world, folks, and there's nobody else coming. He's it. He's the real McCoy. When he comes, folks, he just like he did proclaim himself. That's what he's going to do. Then I want to tell you in Acts chapter 8. Man, I'll tell you that servant of Candace was running a chariot coming back from Jerusalem to worship. Ain't it a sad thing when you go to church and you don't get nothing, you go home the same way you came? He coming home the same way he went. And he's going down the road and God tells Philip, go join yourself to that chariot. He jumps in there. And then he's reading over there and he says, I understand what thou readest. And the man says, how can I? And he's been to read that part of Isaiah where they was talking about how he was wounded for our transgression and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. Amen. And then he said, was he talking about a man or some other man? And the Bible says, Philip picked up right there and he preached unto him Jesus. Amen. Amen. Folks, I'm telling you, I find no fault in people preaching about Jesus. Amen. I tell you what, folks, I'm glad that he's the one, folks, that has all the goods and all the things we need to be saved, redeemed, folks. And one of these days, folks, when he comes, folks, it won't be a question of whether if we're going. It's going to be a question of when are we going. Amen. We're looking. Hey, we're not listening. I mean, we're not looking for signs. We're just listening for a shout. Amen. We're looking for the time when the trump shall sound and the dead in Christ shall rise. And boy, we're out of here, baby. Amen. I find no fault in that preaching. Amen. Now I want to say tonight, just for a few minutes, we have a no fault Savior. Yeah. 1 John chapter 4, verse 14. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior. Amen. You know that song we sing, you know? They say they searched over heaven and found a Savior. That's not true. Amen. I like that song. But I'll tell you what, that ain't true. They didn't have to go search. Amen. Amen. He was already there. God had already given him to be the Savior. Matter of fact, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Amen. You believe tonight?
Amen.
Well, He's our Savior. Amen. He's coming back to take us home one of these days. Amen. It's going to be over pretty soon, buddy. Not only that, but you know what? I have no fault servant. Bible says, I come not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give my life a ransom for many. Jesus came, folks. And I'll tell you, the Bible says over there, and let's read that one over in Philippians chapter 2. I like that part where it reads about how Jesus, you know, He became a servant. Amen. Jesus said, you know, the disciples were talking about who can be the greatest. And Jesus said, you guys are aiming too high. He said, let him be the least among you, be the greatest. But he said, you're the greatest, let him humble himself. And Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But notice verse 7, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and made and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That verse goes over there with the verse that I just read out of Luke where he said, I came not to be ministered unto. You know, every leader in the world wants to be ministered unto. They want somebody to serve him. Jesus came to serve and to lay down his life for us. And that was, folks, we have a no-fault servant. He taught us how to serve. He taught us that how servanthood was the best thing a person could ever be. And all your desire to serve God, folks, you're in real good company with the Lord tonight. All you want to do is serve God. I want to be a servant. Well, what a blessing. Just want to be a servant. Now I want you to know that he was the perfect sacrifice. We have a no-fault sacrifice in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter number 10. I'll read you this verse. Hebrews chapter number 10. Now we're talking about the man Christ Jesus. Pilate said it three times. This man. This man. Notice what he said in Hebrews 10 verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Amen. One sacrifice, taking your place, substitute, if you will, stepping in. Amen. Many, many years ago, I might have told this here before, many, many years ago, when I was still a young man, we'd have to go take care of about 300 head of sheep, and we'd take them out during the day, and somewhere in the middle of the day, we'd be way out there, maybe 11 miles somewhere, down the canyon somewhere, and my dad would not know where we were at, and they didn't have no GPS, didn't have no cell phones then, so you could just get lost out there, you know, and we was out there, but we were always up to something. My dad has 6 sons, and I'm the last, and they're always picking on me. And one day we did like we normally do, round up some cows, and we go find a little corral, and then we make a makeshift corral, and then we just ride those steers, you know, and just to pass the time. But then one day we couldn't find any. Well, we found my old grandpa's old donkey, and there was a few horses, and the horses took off. The donkey was too slow. My brother went and caught the donkey, and he said, "I wonder if it bucks." And they said, "Well, let's put Wilson on there." So I come walking over the hill, and they already had planned this, and I walked over there, and my brother says, "Sit on that donkey. I know you're tired. You probably want to ride him around." So I got on there, and they tied me on there. And before I could say anything, the donkey took off. They took a hot shot, and they put it to the rear of that thing. That thing, man, I'll tell you what, it turned loose. And he went this way, that way, man. I'll tell you, he bucked for a while, but after a while, made him too heavy or something, but he just started running and jogging. Pretty soon, he's trying to unseat me. So he's crawling around them trees. He's crawling around them weeds. And he's trying to knock me off and tore my shirt off. I mean, I'm half naked. My face is scratched up. And I'm hollering. About that time, we saw a man up on the hill. I looked up there. My brother said, "That's Grandpa." And they all took off. And I'm sitting there thinking, what am I going to do? One of my brothers came back. And he was going to help me. But he chased a donkey. And he went down to... It went down in the creek bed. And that donkey head first went down in there. And it broke its leg. Broke its arm. And it's laying down there. And my brother cuts me loose with his knife. He said, "Let's go." We jump off. We take off. And we said, "I hope nobody ever finds out." And then we got home. And there was my dad. And he said, "Y'all need to go to the barn." He said, "My dad was just here. And he done told me what happened. You see, you guys, he had to go back and shoot that donkey. He done killed his donkey." And I thought, "Ma, so what am I going to do?" And I told him, I'm running alongside my dad. And he said, "Shut up, get down to the barn." So I went in there, and my brothers are there. And the first two, Ernest and Steve, they're standing there. And my dad said, "Okay, Ernest, what do you got to say?" And he said, "I don't know, Dad. You know me, I'm taking care of the sheep. These guys are always messing around." So he said, "You're excused." So he left. And then Michael said, "Well, Dad, we're all no good, but you know, you do what you need to do, but we're just taking care of the sheep." So he said, "Okay, you can go." And Steve, he just starts crying. He looks at me and he's got pity for me, and my shirt's torn off and I'm crying and I'm bawling like a baby. I don't know what to do. And my dad says, "I know you're guilty. You're the one that's riding it when it happened." So he said, "Which one of the brothers helped you?" And Steve said, It wasn't me. So they let him go. By that time, my dad said, "I want to find out who else is at fault. I want you to go over here. I want you to bend over that hay," he said, "and I want you to pull your pants down." And he went to go beat me. Here I am. My shirt's all torn. I'm a mess. And my lip is just quivering. I thought, man, I'm getting a beating. And I already felt like I got one. Now I got to get another one. And then about that time, the door opened and my brother Mike came in. Mike came right over to my dad. And he said, "Dad," he said, "my brother's already beaten up. Look at him," he said, "he lost." He said, "Look at all the scratch on him. He doesn't need no beating, Dad." He said, "If he there any beating you're gonna do beat me." So my brother dropped his drawers and he said, "Dad, beat me." You know what Dad said? Dad said, "You go to the house, get cleaned up." And my brother took my beating for me. I'm going to tell you 2,000 years ago. At a hill called Calvary. Jesus Christ took the beating for me. Where I was guilty. Folks, where I was guilty, the innocent took my place. Where I was the one that did wrong. Folks, the one that was without sin took my place. He took my beating. I'm here tonight looking forward to going to heaven. To be an inheritance of the saints and light. Simply because somebody took my place. And his name is Jesus. Amen. He took my place. I'm telling you folks. There's no fault in his sacrifice. And then I want to say. There's no fault in his soon return. Take your Bible. Turn to Hebrews for a minute. I'm sorry, not Hebrews, but go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. A famous text there. I'll begin reading verse 13. But I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. You know, probably some of the saddest words in the Bible is right there where it says, even as others which have no hope. I'm glad I have hope. Because of a no-fault Savior. Because of the one, folks, where even his enemy could not find no fault in him. I can say, folks, I have a blessed hope tonight. I have a hope that is steadfast and sure, which is an anchor to my soul. Hey, look again, verse 16. It says, there's a shout there. Bible said, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Amen. I was reading the other day, and it said back in many years ago, before the founding of this country, at a place called Massachusetts, Concord, Massachusetts, was where the first shot was, heard, you know, when they start the Revolutionary War. And that shot is what today is remembered as a shot that was heard around the world. And you know what? It changed the course of Britain, and it changed the course of America was born. And out of that, you know, here we are, a great nation, all because of a shot that made a difference, you know. And here is something that I just thought of, you know, when I was reading this. I thought about when the Bible says that Jesus is going to come with a shout. Boy, I'm telling you what, that shout, he's coming, folks, it's going to change the world. Yeah. Amen. This world is going to get changed. Amen. Not a makeover. It's going to completely be done away with, and the new thing will be raised up. The dead are saved, will be raised. Hey, the living saints are going to be raptured, and when we depart, folks, judgment will fall upon this world. And this shout will be heard around the world. Amen. Oh, what a shout when Jesus comes. Amen. What a shout that's going to be to change the world. I think about that shout when some of the things that they did when Joshua took that troop and they went around Jericho and they shouted that wall down. Amen. Well, that must have been a shout. Amen. And then you think about that shout, folks, over there in the book of Ezra, when Ezra took that book and he opened up that book, the Bible says in Ezra 3:11, and all the people shouted with a great shout. Folks, if there's something we ought to shout about, it's about this book over here. Ain't no book, ain't no fault in this book, ain't no fault in the blood, ain't no fault, folks, in the blessed hope. All them three folks are something to shout about tonight, folks. And I'll tell you what, folks, that man up there, he read that book from the pulpit, and tell you, everybody shouted, amen. Think about that time when Jesus entered into Jerusalem, as recorded in Matthew, and the Bible says they shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. I'll tell you what, there was some folks shouting that day, Brother Mark. I could see that little boy down there, you know, he's shouting, he said, here he comes, here he comes. And everybody said, what are you talking about? Shut up. You know, the Bible said, they told us, be quiet. You know, the Pharisees were there too. They said, be quiet. Sit down, boy. You're just a snotty nosed little boy. But no, you don't understand. He said, he took my two fishes and my loaf of bread. He fed multitude. Blessed is he that come in the name of the Lord. I mean, he's down on earth. You think about that woman that had the issue of blood 12 years. She said, I couldn't get there. You don't understand. You know why I'm shouting? I couldn't get there, so I got on my knees and my hand, and I went in there just as far as I could reach in the crowd just to be able to touch the hem of his garment. And all of a sudden, I got up and said, hey, what happened to me? Hey, no more sickness. No more. Hey, I got something to say about. All of a sudden, I don't care if people don't like it. But no, the more you go, the more you go, the more I'm going to stand. Amen. You think about Ron Bartimaeus. Ron Bartimaeus is sitting there by the wayside. And about this here, the Bible says all the people were standing there with Jesus coming. And they said, no, you sit still. You just be quiet. And the Bible said he hopped the board. He said, oh, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped. Amen. When he stopped, he said, call him over to me. The people said, shut up, stay seated. They said, oh, he wants you. Come here. Come here. They took him up there. Also, when they took him up there, the Bible said, he touched his eyes, he opened up his eyes, and he's there. He's saying, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hey, that's the one that opened my eyes, amen. I'm talking about the power of God that is real tonight. I'm talking about the power that is working today, amen. Hey, Paul, how about you, amen? What did he do for you, amen? How long did he do for you? What is it that has changed your life, amen? We find in the 11th chapter of John, amen, Jesus comes to Martha and Mary, and it's 4 days now since Lazarus has been dead. He comes in, and the Bible said we find there, Jesus shouts Lazarus' name, and one lone man, amen, marched out of that tomb, the resurrection ground, amen. And Jesus died upon the cross of Calvary. He said, it is finished. But you know what? The greatest shout, probably the shout that's going to be heard around the world, is a shout when the skies got rolled back one day. And Jesus steps out of heaven to come get his bride. Amen. And he'll shout, come up hither. And away we're going to go. Amen. It'll be the shout of all shouts, man. We're going to hear that shout. Hey, we might hear it tonight. Amen. We might hear that shout tonight. I'm telling you, when that happens, folks, the Lord will descend. He'll come and get his bride. Where are you going to be? Where are you going to be when the Lord comes? I don't know about you, but I just as soon go to heaven from here than Flagstaff, Arizona. Flagstaff, Arizona is my dwelling place, but I just as soon go to heaven from here. Amen. There's a whole bunch of innocents over there got to redeem. Amen. Yeah, when we go up, we're going to see each other. Say, amen. Praise the Lord. Finally over. I'm telling you what, that's the day coming. We're going to rejoice in the fact that, folks, we had a no-fault Savior. Amen. No wonder Pilate said, I find no fault in Him.
Amen.
If you're here tonight and you're not saved, that might be your problem. You're finding a fault in somebody that had no fault. What you need to do is you need to come to Him. Folks, there ain't nobody else can come better than Him. Like that songwriter said, ain't nothing better than Jesus. Amen. You come.